beyond excited.
Can you describe the last 24 hours for us?
It's hard to describe. We've been waiting for this for so long.
Did you ever think this day would come?
Yes and no.
Free at last, free at last. Julian Assange is free at last. Well, physically for now. In a surprising yet deserved move, the British government released Julian from his jail cell. But what happens next to the WikiLeaks founder? And what price did he and the rest of the world have to pay for his freedom? I'm Skynell Hughes, and this is Perspective. After spending 1,901 days in prison, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange walked out of a prison and was able to run off a plane to embrace his wife and his father. Now he gets to head back to his homeland of Australia in what seems to be the conclusion to a decade-long legal battle. A legal battle which started in 2011 when the Swedish government accused Assange of sexual assault and issued a warrant for his arrest. Not only did Assange deny the allegations, but it became apparent Julian Assange was being targeted because of his work on his website WikiLeaks and the work it was doing to expose the lies being told by the American government to its people. In 2009, Chelsea Manning, who was previously known as Bradley Manning before her transitioning, and a military intelligence analyst, disclosed to WikiLeaks hundreds of thousands of documents regarding the detainees at the U.S. detention camp at Guantanamo Bay, as well as never-before-seen documents regarding the war in Iraq. Now, eventually, the U.S. government charged Assange with 18 counts of espionage. This drove Assange to seek refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in the U.K., with minimal contact with the outside world. But the damaging information released by Snowden was nothing compared to the Democrat National Committee's mass leak of more than 20,000 emails, which happened just a few months before the 2016 election. An unprecedented move whose exact source is still a mystery. However, it revealed multiple scathing revelations about the DNC, like the coordinated efforts with the Hillary Clinton campaign against Bernie Sanders, several employees' racist and derogatory treatments of others within the organization, and the various international business ties between the Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton's campaign advisor, John Podesta. This captured the headlines in the crucial last few weeks of the 2016 campaign, creating a firestorm of controversies that many Democrats believe caused the loss of Hillary Clinton's presidential bid. Of course, this was not going to go unnoticed, and those in power in several countries around the world knew not only did Julian Assange and his WikiLeaks website need to be silenced, but future whistleblowers needed to be sent this message. They would pay for any actions they took which would expose any corruption which had taken years to hide. All of this brings us to today. And after years of legal battles and public demonstrations, Julian Assange is now a semi-free man. But did the man who was seen as a fighter for freedom of speech and press sacrifice the fight in the future for his own freedom? Well, let's ask our panel of experts their perspective on Julian Assange's release and what will happen in the future. Joining me is Randy Credico, who is a comedian, radio host, and activist. Misty Winston, a political activist and the organizer and co-host of Action for Assange. And Arnold August, who is an author and journalist. Thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Misty, I want to start with you. Why do you think the British had a change of heart and released Assange?
I think that's a very complicated answer. I think there are many things that played into that. There's a lot of moving parts here. I think that obviously it was a political disaster for many countries, Australia, the UK, the United States. I think obviously the unrelenting pressure from activists around the globe was really starting to break through. You know, the movement to free Assange has been growing over the past many years, mm-hmm. but really in particular since he was pulled out of the Ecuadorian embassy in 2019. So I think that there was a lot of moving parts there. There were a lot of, I imagine a lot of really frantic conversations happening behind closed doors on how to get out of this while also saving face. And I think that this was probably the best option for all parties involved.
Arnold, we know one of the terms of the release was time he had already served. Do you think those were the only conditions?
Well, it appears, first I'd like to say that I don't think that by Julian Assange agreeing to that plea deal, that represents in any way, shape, or form a detriment to journalism, freedom of the press, now in the future. I think one has to look at it in the context. What was the main goal of the United States and Britain? Their goal was just to, you know, drive them nuts in that those terrible conditions in Belmarsh, even pushing him towards perhaps suicide. What one does not know, but the fact is, in the prison, he stood up every single day. He never gave in. He never went on his knees for that plea deal. In fact, it came from the others, from the United States and Britain. And the fact that he signed it, I don't think that it means that this is sacrificing the principles of journalism in the future. Because who does Julian Assange represent? He represents the freedom of journalism. And now he stood up to the state, those terrible conditions, and came out of prison, his head held high. So his work, of course, can carry on. And the symbol of Julian Assange as the fighter for freedom of the press, for the rights of journalism, I think is going to be even stronger because no one stops him, I believe, from speaking out in Australia or in any through internet as well, I believe.
I was going to say, Arnold, so you're telling me you think they let Julian Assange basically just walk out of jail and didn't put any restrictions on him, that he can just go do whatever work he wants to continue to do. You think that they're just going to say, you know what, we're just keep doing what you were doing, exposing all this. We're fine. We're not worried about you anymore.
No, I don't really believe that there were no conditions. But the fact is, I also read a few days ago that right after his release, WikiLeaks leaked a whole trove of up to that time unclassified documents with regards, especially to the United States, the DNC, Hillary Clinton. So this thing is still going on, even though perhaps Julian Assange is not directly involved in, you know, the restrictions may be on Julian Assange as such, but WikiLeaks and other journalists, other outlets that are dedicated to digging up the truth with regards to the American politics, they still have a free hand to do so. And of course, while he may not have the right to issue other WikiLeaks to outlets as he did before, who's stopping him from speaking? I never read anywhere that he cannot give his opinion on the issue of journalism, on the issue of the DNC, on the issue of the American political system, American foreign policy. I did not see any restriction on that. And knowing Julian Assange, not personally, but just from following him so closely, his courage, when it comes time, he will definitely speak out. I'm confident he will speak out. And I don't think there's a restriction for him to speak out verbally. And the advantage is now he's out of prison, so all the microphones will be geared towards him.
Well, I know that is one that's one very sought-off interview. I know every journalist in the world right now would like to have that first conversation. I say that. Right. Good journalists, true journalists that are not or hiding anything would like to have that conversation with him. But then I've got to go to you on this one, Randy. Do you actually think that conversation is going to happen? Because I have to look at, do you think this was just a coincidence? Because all of the DNC emails were deleted the day Assange was released. Kind of interesting. Is that just a coincidence?
I really have no idea. I don't expect him to speak out anytime soon. I certainly wouldn't ask him. I've interviewed him three times prior, 2017 and 16. I wouldn't ask him to be interviewed by me.
Okay.
Right now, he needs to decompress. And I think it would be totally wrong for anyone to see interviewing Julian Assange for their own, status. This is a 13-year ordeal. It was bad enough in the Ecuadorian embassy and the 5 years in that Tower of London on the ground floor really put a lot of psychological and physical harm to him. So he needs a long time. I've worked with prisoners for 25 years, and they do 5, 10, 12 years in prison. When they come out, they're never the same. It really takes a long time to adjust, and I think everyone should just leave him alone right now, and he'll speak when he speaks.
And he will speak, and that will be something that I think a lot of people want to hear. Misty, were you surprised? While there was a lot of, a lot of coverage within, obviously, social media, some of the alternative media groups, they obviously covered the Julian Assange. You might have got a 30-second blip on most Western mainstream. Were you surprised at the lack of coverage of Julian Assange being released from jail?
No, of course not. They haven't been covering this case for the entirety of the duration of it. I mean, maybe once every 6 months or so, they do like a 2-minute segment where they would spin it terribly and malign Julian Assange, lie about him, smear him, things like that. So it's completely unsurprising to me that mainstream media did not cover it. But just a quick clarification, the DNC emails weren't in fact deleted off of WikiLeaks following his release. The website has been having issues with those documents for years. This is not something that's new. It's been for years now that those have been I'm not sure what the issue is. I'm sure maybe somebody from WikiLeaks could comment on the technical issues that they've been having there. But that's been something that's been reported on since, I think, even just 2021. So the DNC leaks wasn't something that was deleted following his release. That's been going on for a long time. But to circle back to your question, not at all surprised that mainstream media ignored this. It's what they do.
Well, there's no doubt. I think several governments would love to be able to take down the WikiLeaks website, and they've been unable to successfully do that for a long time. And now that Julian's free, it'll be interesting if they continue to make those attacks and, in fact, up them on there. I do have to ask you, Arnold, I'm sure you're familiar with the DNC leaks, because I think that was actually the nail that really made Julian Assange a huge target. He was already, but really definitely made a target on his back by several different groups. Do you think, and it's not only just that, but any of these email leaks that have come out from WikiLeaks, have you ever seen anybody implicated or held accountable for what WikiLeaks has been exposed? Besides, well, I mean, like I said, we've got Edward Snowden's heading, the good guys, the ones that are actually doing the whistleblowing, they're being held accountable for it. But anybody else that was implicated, we've never seen anything actually come about to those that actually did the wrong that were exposed by WikiLeaks at this point.
I think that what Julian Assange exposed with regard to the DNC, that whole party, its leadership, it was relevant then, of course. It was very relevant during his entire ordeal in the embassy and later in that torture hall, which is called Balmarsh Prison. But I think it takes on even more relevancy. Let me give you an example. I was watching the, like everyone else, I guess, who had the stomach to do so, the debate between Biden and Trump, presidential debate, just a few days ago. And you know what made me most sickening? It was nothing what Trump said. You know, I'm not a Trump supporter, but I think what was most disgusting was what came out of Biden's mouth when he said at three different occasions, or different variations, we are the envy of the world. This is Biden. I'm quoting for him. Every country would like to be as us. We are leading the world, leading the civilized world. So, you know, this is the person who epitomizes the entire corruption in the DNC that Julian exposed, and which is becoming even more relevant today. It's another topic. What is going on in Palestine today? You know, it's not the same, of course, of Afghanistan, but what he exposed then, before the current onslaught by the United States and Israel against Gaza, is even more relevant because the same type of things are happening there. The only difference is, fortunately, we don't really need WikiLeaks for that because the mainstream media has to deal with that. They have no way out. But I think that Julian Assange, he was in prison for his ideas. He came out, his ideas are still there. And these same ideas inspire us. And I agree with you, we should be toasting champagne for his release from prison and his temporary, or even if it is slightly restricted, freedom. It's a victory for sure.
Well, I speak as a very proud American. I think we all here in America, when Joe Biden said that, I think we all had a giggle and a laugh going, he doesn't actually believe that right now, right, with the current state that we're in. But Randy, I want to talk to you because you mentioned that you'd spoken
but
to
just
both.
Just a second. I think he really believes it. I think he really believes it. That's the sad part.
Well, he also believes that he walked across a bridge in Maryland and several other aspects that, afterwards they had to send quite a few fact checks and corrections on. But that's exactly, I think, why Julian Assange is so important today, is because while the rest of the media can just glance over and not have to talk about it. Randy, I have to ask you real quick before we go to break. You mentioned you actually talked to Julian Assange several times, 2016, 2017. Do you think that this experience is going to make him change how he handles these types of situations going forward? Or has he already said, you know what, you've already come at me, you've already done the worst you can do. I mean, I'm still alive, I'm against Mike Pompeo's wishes, I think. But I'm going to keep going. I'm going to go harder now that you've let me out. What do you think his tenacity is going to be when he does have the rest needed that he deserves and comes out to the public?
Once he recovers, when he decompresses, I expect him probably to go back to doing what he did before. I did have him on my radio show in 2016 and 17. I visited him in the embassy three times in 2017. He was already under a ton of pressure earlier that year. Pompeo called him WikiLeaks, high-tech terrorists, and Misty can correct that.
That's correct.
At that point, he was a target in the crosshairs of the CIA. It was Vault 7 that really led to the prosecution. There's no question about that. That's when they really went crazy. The CIA, and the CIA has been driving this prosecution for a long time. That's why I never expected, and many people were not optimistic that he would ever get out. Maybe it was a campaign issue. Biden, there's no way he can revive his campaign, but maybe he thinks this might help. I don't know. Plus, they probably would have lost once they brought him over here, but they would have dragged it out for another 6, 8, 10 months in that prison, waiting with appeals and everything, and he could have died there. So it was Vault 7, it was the DNC emails, all that stuff, linking it to Russia was part of the smear job. It worked both ways, smearing Julian Assange and smearing Russia, which has led that whole Russiagate charade, which continues to percolate right now to demonize Russia and pave the way for this proxy war in Ukraine. So I wish he were around to expose some of the stuff that's going on that keeps this proxy war happening, costing 600,000 Ukrainian lives, making all of these military contractors billionaires, basically.
Well, and Randy, to your point, some might say one of the reasons why he did get out is they could see that potentially this war is going to be coming to an end and not to how the West is wanting it to be. So they went on and let him out now so that it wouldn't be such a surprise. But that is a great lead into our conversation after the break. Randy Credico, Misty Winston, and Arnold August, don't go away. Because after the break, we are going to continue our discussion and examine what this might mean for other whistleblowers like Edward Snowden. We will also consider whether, if elected, President Trump will correct the mistakes he made at the end of his first term and issue a pardon.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact. Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
Hi, I'm Rick Sanchez. And I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
I'm Skynell Hughes, and you are watching Perspective. We are going to bring back in our panel to discuss what kind of message Julian Assange's jail time and now release might send to other whistleblowers. Randy Credico, comedian and radio host, activist Misty Winston and political activist, organizer, and co-host of Action for Assange, and Arnold August, author and journalist. I want to thank you so much for staying with us. Okay, I'm going to actually start with you on this one, Randy, because was it a clear message sent to those who might consider exposing the secrets of a government to not do so or face the fate of Julian Assange?
That Jonathan Schulte was a message, putting him in prison for the rest of his life. Ed Snowden having to go to Russia for the rest of his life. There are people, if you're determined, like Daniel Ellsberg, if you have a conscience, you put your own safety, your own freedom in the backseat and you act on it. You just have to be, if you're compelled to do something, you will do it. So I don't think it's going to be a deterrent to whistleblowers maybe a few of them, maybe to some journalists. They may be fearful of sending WikiLeaks material. They might be afraid of that they're being watched. But there are ways to get around it, I believe. And it's going to be difficult because the spying in this country is so heavy it's bad enough. And then Biden comes in and accelerates it. And so people are spied on. They're listened to all the time. They're watched, you never know. I mean, look, I went to Russia last year and Ukraine last year. When I got back, I was fearful for the next 2 months, driving around. I was driving like 40 miles an hour on the freeway, thinking that, I was going to get pulled over, really going slower than I should have. So, I was fearful of this government, and people should be fearful because, we're run by a bunch of neocons. Biden is a hardcore neocon, all right? Let's be honest. It's not Biden. It's Blinken and Sullivan who are running the operation there, and these guys don't like leaks. Right. These guys don't like free press, and they will use and the CIA, of course, doesn't. The NSA doesn't. So they will use whatever means possible to prevent any future leaks that might damage their credibility and their image.
You know how sad it is that someone is afraid when they're doing nothing wrong, that have not done anything illegal, that they are afraid in their own country? That right there, I guarantee that's not what the American founding fathers or any country's founding fathers would want for the people that live in their country. And it's a sad state that we're living in. But I digress. I actually want to go to you on this one, Misty, because you followed the Assange case, but there's obviously some crossovers to dealing with Edward Snowden. Some are wondering if this could actually signal a deal for Edward Snowden, which would allow him to come back to the United States. What do you think?
I mean, it's possible. Certainly, I think that now the balloon has been popped. And so I think that, frankly, I think that the support for Ed Snowden has been growing much more quickly than Julian Assange. So I think that Snowden has a lot of support here in the United States. I think it's difficult to get that kind of support for Julian Assange. I think a lot of that is the fact that Snowden is, in fact, American and Julian Assange is not. There's other different reasons. But I do think that there is a significant amount of support for the likes like Edward Snowden here in the United States. And so I think it's certainly possible. The question really is, as mentioned, that the idea that people in this country are afraid when they're doing wrong, would he want to come home? I'm not sure I would. I mean, I'd be pretty fearful of that if I'm Ed Snowden. I'm pretty sure I would happily stay and protect myself. He's got a family now, a very young family. So I think really the question we need to ask is it possible that that could offer opportunity for a pardon for him and for the opportunity for him to return home? Sure. Would he want to? I'm not so sure.
Misty, I like the way that you look at different things from different perspectives. I think that's very, very wise of you, no doubt. But Arnold, you kind of brought it up because we are in a presidential election year. And do you think Donald Trump will consider pardoning Assange if elected? And why do you think he did not issue a pardon at the end of his first term?
First, I'd like to mention that I fully agree with the notion that the Biden-Anthony Blinken all those people, they're right-wing neocons, hard right-wing. Now, that being said, as we know, Trump is an erratic person. And with regards to Putin and Russia, it's been, not always the same view that he presented. Even when he says, I'm the one who can actually deal with Putin, he didn't necessarily mean I'm the one who will overthrow Putin. But that's what the Democrats have been saying from the beginning. They want to overthrow him, but while Trump's orientation is a bit more easygoing, saying we have to deal with these people. He's shown that with other leaders as well. So I think that it is quite possible that Trump may see, when he becomes elected, I'm sure he will be elected, that he will consider, perhaps consider, I don't want to go out on the limb, he may consider a pardon for Snowden, because as you said, he's very popular in the United States. He's an American, and this will help Trump in the first few months or the first couple of years of his new presidency. And so I think this is possible. You never know. The fact that he's unpredictable, it goes both ways. The positive side, he might do something like pardoning Edward Snowden and bring him back to where he comes from, United States of America.
But Randy, I'm going to end with you on this one question, because Trump did not pardon Julian Assange at the end of his first term. A lot of people scratched their head. Do you think it had anything to do with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who recently, it was revealed, tried to have Julian Assange murdered? Do you believe this? What would have been Pompeo's motivation? And do you think this had anything to do with why Trump did not pardon Julian Assange? And you got 1 minute.
I think Trump had a gun put to his head, all right, basically, at the last minute, because he was going to do it. But somebody came into that office and said, you do this, it's over. Chuck Schumer said the CIA can screw you 7 days from Sunday. And that's exactly what they would have done if he had done it at that point in time. So as far as Snowden goes, I concur with Misty. I do not think he will come back or should come back. Moscow is a beautiful city, and I was there for 2 weeks, and it's really a beautiful city. Wonderful restaurants, and there's plenty of food in the stores and the restaurants. He should stay there, because if he comes back here, he's going to get hit by some, crazy guy.
I want to thank you, Misty Winston, for all of your work that you did. I think it helped keep the spotlight on Julian for all these years. Randy Credeco and Arnold August, you as well. Thank you so much for joining me and for giving us your perspective.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So while I hope this is not the end of Julian Assange's work, I don't blame him, as he paid a very high price for his disclosures with Time, and possibly could have paid the ultimate price with his life. But what happens if no one is there to pick up the mantle of freedom fighter in his absence? What if the darkness continues to grow, knowing there is little to no chance it will ever be exposed, or even less likely to be held accountable? This is more than just publishing conspiracy. This is good versus evil. And without those like Julian Assange, who even if for a moment in time risked their livelihood to try and save humanity, corruption will prevail. A person like Julian Assange reminds us of the power of one and what a single individual can do to fight the deception by the elite and the powerful. But it is just as important that when we have someone willing to take the risk for freedom, those who also seek good unite to support and defend, as the weapons will quickly form against them. One might be able to win the battle, but it will take all of us to win the war. I'm Sky Nell Hughes. That is just my perspective. You can follow me on Twitter @ScottyNHughes, and we are going to see you next time.